The story I'm going to tell you today has been produced and transcribed by the New York State Department of Commerce and dedicated to men and women everywhere through whose courage and enterprise we enjoy our freedom's blessings. Think of an office 80 years ago, with the clerk sitting on high stools, the room smelling of ink and leather-bound ledgers. Now think of that same business office today, and what would have happened if it stayed the same? Records going back 80 years, no filing systems, no typewriters, no adding machines. Can you even imagine it?
Mr. Jones, here's my resignation. I'm quitting right now, if I can still get out the door.
Why, what's the matter, Miss Pritchard?
Here's mine, too. Where's my hat?
It's the paperwork. We've had enough mail today to keep one person busy writing for a year.
And another filing for 2 years.
The front office is stuffed full to the top of the windows.
And the paper's still pouring in.
We'll hire more clerks. We'll buy gallons of ink. We'll put up a new building just for the record.
Not for me.
Me either.
What'll happen to my business after 8 years? Why, everything depends on paper. Orders, reorders, specifications. There must be some way to cope with this.
Here, Mr. Jones, take this. You know the situation's hopeless.
What have you got there?
A bomb, sir.
A bomb?
Yes, sir. You know it's futile. Just throw it. Blow up the building.
Papers flowing out the windows now.
It's been pouring down 42nd Street for an hour and a half. Traffic stopped. The building's almost buried under a mountain of paper.
I guess you're right. We're trapped. Give me that bomb.
Well, you know, that ain't so much of an exaggeration as you might think. Just suppose American business had grown the way it did without somebody to anticipate what the office needs was going to be. Same thing's true of the future. But, hold on, I'm getting ahead of my story. It begun with a youngster back around 1906 over at Harvard College. And it begun with something as interesting as money. A Harvard student named Jim Rand was standing in line at a Boston bank in front of the teller's cage. An old dowager was blowing off steam to the teller.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bigby, but I simply refuse to accept this money. I gave you a nice, clean $50 bill, and I want clean money in return. Just look at these greasy bills. Why, they must be crawling with germs.
I'm sorry, madam, but it's legal tender. You won't have any trouble passing those bills.
I insist, young man, that you give me sanitary bills, or I am going to change my bank.
Kind of silly sounding conversation, huh? Well, young Jim Rand overheard it. He thought it was silly, too, at first. Then he thought again. It wasn't just that old woman. Lots of people must have thought of the thousands of hands that had touched them bills, carrying all kinds of dirt and disease. So young Jim got an idea, which he put in a letter to his father back in Tonawanda, New York.
So you see, Dad, there really is a need for something like I have in mind. I'm starting tomorrow canvassing all the banks in Boston. And if I can sell my money germicide, I'll be able to pay all my tuition next semester.
Yeah, that was young Jim Rand. Independent as a young rooster, already busting with ideas. So he talked to a lot of bank officials.
Well, you needn't take my word for it, sir. Why, just stand near one of the teller's cages and listen to a few of the complaints they get.
There's something in what you say, young man. I used to be a teller myself.
Now, with my germicide, sir, the bills can be sterilized in large quantities at the end of each day. It requires only minutes, and it won't tie up any of your employees very long. Why, just think of the goodwill you'll build.
Why, the Grand National Bank of Boston has clean money. I'm going to open an account there.
Well, anybody that could sell a new idea to a state Boston bank in 1906 had to be enthusiastic. And Jim Rand was. In fact, he sold himself right out of germicide in a few weeks. But the money he earned, along with some other jobs, got him through Harvard. Soon as he graduated, he went to work for his father's little bank ledger company in Tonawanda, hitting the whistle-stop towns between Keokuk, Iowa, and Amarillo, Texas, as a traveling salesman. For 2 years, young Jim Rand sold the ledgers manufactured by his father's company, along with a complete line of office supplies. For 2 years, he visited old-fashioned offices with their high stools and leather-bound ledgers. He slept in dirty little hotels and rode sooty trains. For the Midwest was the new frontier of business.
Mr. Rand, my bank business has grown so fast I can't keep up the paperwork.
We've just hired 5 more clerks, and we're still behind.
But let me show you this new ledger the Rand Company's making, sir. We're using alphabetical tabs on each page, you see, so it's pretty simple to find the name.
Primitive, wasn't it? Yeah, offices and banks and businesses had outstripped themselves. The tools they were using for business belonged to the 19th century, to the days of the clerk sitting on the high stool. You hear that? That's a frustrated businessman pounding his head on the wall. A wall of paper, names, figures, account books. And Jim Rand was hitting the towns with a new ledger. More paperwork, more filing problems, more... Well, it was better than what they had. Well, Jim Rand come back to New York City to set up a branch of his father's bank ledger company. On a deal that would make most salesmen's hair stand on end. Starting cold, he drew only a commission. No sales, no eat. And once again, he made good. So good that they called him back to the Tonawanda plant as sales manager. Now, you take an old conservative firm and a rugged young fella like Jim Rand, well, you're bound to have fireworks.
Jim, you've got us so oversold on ledgers, it's going to take 6 months to fill the backlog of orders.
Oh, gee, Dad, I'm sorry.
I don't apologize. It's just that you've almost worked yourself out of a job, son. We won't have anything more to sell till November.
Oh, I've got enough to keep me busy, Dad. That visible index I'm working on, you know, my Cardex system.
Now, don't go getting up false hope. There's nothing harder, son, than trying to change an old-time businessman's ideas.
Oh, wait till I show you how much time Cardex will save, sir. No more leafing through dusty ledgers, Dad. No more hunting around for the right name or the right account. You wait and see, Dad. Cardex or something like it will revolutionize every business office in America.
Maybe you wonder how anybody could get so fiery about a bank ledger. But Jim Rand could get enthusiastic about a lot of things. You know, before he got through, he was going to start an office revolution. Remember our frustrated businessman? Somebody had to give him a break.
Jim, are you still fooling around with that Cardex? I thought the board of directors had killed the Cardex idea.
I'm ready to give you a demonstration now, Dad. Look here, do you see this little cabinet?
It doesn't look big enough to hold anything.
Now, you see our shelf full of ledgers over here?
Yes, the customer file.
Now, just watch, Dad. I'm going to search for an account in our old file system. I want you to time me by the clock.
The hands of the clock moved slowly while Jim searched for the account of a customer named Hiram Jones. Well, there was a lot of Joneses.
There, Dad, how long did that take?
Well, that was exactly 10 minutes and 30 seconds.
All right, sir. Now, let's look for Jones in my Cardex file. Now, we pull out the little drawer marked J. Down comes the whole rack of J's on cards. You can see them all at once. Let's see. Oh, there it is. H for Hiram. Hiram Jones. Just like that.
Well, I'll be. It can't be that easy, Jim.
Well, it is. And besides, you can remove the cards to fill in the information. Then you slip them right back in. Just like that.
Allowing for a clerk's salary in them days, you know, it cost a company almost a nickel every time the clerk had to search for an account in those old-fashioned ledgers. Add up them nickels, and by gosh, that would sure raise the cost of doing business. Well, Jim Rand's Cardex, simple and neat as it was, could save a businessman thousands of dollars a year. So he got it patented, and then went back to work selling bank ledgers for his dad's company. But he was burning with ideas. And sometimes a board of directors can be awful stubborn. Jim made a little speech at the next meeting of the board of the Rand Ledger Company. He made some pretty startling proposals.
And I suggest that the board of directors shall entertain and investigate a proposal from some competent engineer for the installation of a system of scientific management in our factory during the next 6 months.
That last one put the spotlight on the future of industrial management. In return for the acceptance of his proposals, young Jim offered to turn over to the company the patents and royalties from his Cardex system.
Never heard anything so nervy in my life.
Young whippersnapper?
Mr. President, may I say I have never heard so many ridiculous proposals from one young man in my life. I am certain these radical ideas will be completely unacceptable to this board.
So they voted on young Jim's ridiculous, radical, unacceptable proposals to liven up the old Rand Company.
Mr. Rand, your proposals have been unanimously rejected.
Well, in that case, gentlemen, I'd like to make two announcements. First, I wish to tender my resignation immediately. Second, I want to announce the formation of a new organization, the Kardex Company. I'm going to start manufacturing Kardex myself.
They all thought he was crazy, leaving an old established company and a good job. But he had a dream. So he borrowed $10,000 from the bank and started out with 20 employees and a tiny plant making Kardex. Inside 5 years, his annual sales volume of Kardex was over $1 million. Kind of shows how a fellow with an idea that fills a need has a real outlet for his initiative. Here in New York State, don't it? Then Jim Rand got his biggest idea yet.
I'd like to have a business to serve all businesses. One company that furnishes everything in the line of office equipment.
Well, he was able to do that too. He bought out his father's Rand Company and merged four others, including the Remington Typewriter Company. Today, Remington Rand and 65 other companies are making office equipment here in New York State. Yeah. It took the enterprise and competition of Jim Rand and a bunch of other fellas to lick that paper mountain.